that is being spent on these security measures, they don't seem to be pinpointing
to be reflected,
the threat.
Yeah.
So what exactly do you want us to do? At a point in time, I spoke here about complaining to the problem. There are times you actually complain to the problem. So when you start seeing these kind of things, you start beginning to feel that, well, I think we are complaining to the problem.
Why are we so clay-footed on this matter? Is there something that we don't know that is holding us down?
You know, I once put it clearly in one of these, let me be precise here, I once put it clearly on Arise, and it was misconstrued to mean I was putting Mr. President on the spot. I've said it clearly that until you actually thread this needle or bail this cat, it will be your albatross.
Yeah.
And you will have to live with it for the rest of your life, that in your time, this is what we saw.
What we saw.
It's that simple. You can never write Nigerians' history and mention Mr. President's name, and these memories will not come to mind. Right from the early morning, we've said it, that security has no language, or insecurity has no language, it has no religion, it has no personality. A threat to one is a threat to all. You know, there's this saying that what can make the nose run will also make the eyes run. So I don't know. We've just been...
But you know, one of the things 7 years ago about this time, one of the reasons why it appeared one had support for Buhari was that, in fact, I said on radio here that I think that it would be good if we had, if every president we had, had some military experience.
Yeah,
I think I said it on a program with you.
A sheriff, there's a new sheriff in town, I call, something like that.
And given his own antecedents, a major general of repute, known, we knew some of the things he did, even just as a colonel, you know, Metesani and so on and so forth. I mean, so everybody was cocksure. When I say everybody, I mean majority, were cocksure that, this president is going to get a hold on security. But that didn't happen. What could have gone wrong?
Well, I want to believe, as I've always said, what has gone wrong is what has finally manifested today, despite the denials. And this is not the first time I put it. There were two mantras at the beginning. There was the mantra for change, if you recall.
Yes.
And there was a mantra to fight corruption.
Yes.
The mantra for change was Jagabans. Jagaban started the change mantra.
Okay.
And our president wanted to fight corruption. He said it that if we don't kill corruption,
corruption will kill us.
Something happened, I wouldn't know, after what we call inauguration. Post-inauguration, if you recall, I think there was a 100-day lull or something like that. Was it a 6 months lull? I think there was a hitch somewhere along the line, even though they denied it, and it's now coming out. But then you discover that the technocrats suddenly just went cold, while the corruption SARS were left on their own. Yes. So the mantra for change and the mantra to fight corruption did not blend, or else we would have seen a smooth sail. What happened, what did not happen, let that be anybody's guess. But today, what has fallen out at the end of 8 years shows us that indeed there was a problem at the beginning.
Let's look at it, Kapi. Is there, you know, because I sometimes ask myself, is it that we lack the capacity and capability and probably the will to take this monster head on?
The resources are there. If you go into the numbers, you discover that a lot has been sunk into...
Into that?
Yes, into security.
On paper or in reality?
In reality, actually. Monies, I mean, if you look at it, there was a report I was reading, and that report even got to the hallowed house, hallowed chambers of the National Assembly, where we were kind of comparing the budget allocation to for example, the army alone in the Northeast. And we saw what was attributable to capital expenditure and what was attributable to what you call recurrence. And you find out that a very little percentage of what was being disbursed was going into what you call recurrence and not into capital expenditure. And it was quite, the budget was lean in the waist when it came to capital expenditure and very fat in the head when it came to recurrence.
Recurrent.
So you wonder, what will this recurrence be? One would have expected some kind of capital.
Buy new equipment.
Exactly, equipment and what have you. But that was not the case. So at a point in time, a member of the House was even complaining that the whole operation seems to be cash cow. But what I'm trying to say is this. We do not lack the resources to do it. But when it comes to the will to do it, as I said earlier, to thread that needle.
Is it an issue of compromise? For example, I keep saying this, Kapi, and I want to know if I'm wrong. There's been a general conception and feeling that there's imbalance at the hierarchy of all our security forces put together. For example, I'd like to be corrected. I'm being told that there's nobody from the Southeast, for example. You know, a lot's backed with Northerners and so on and so forth. Does that have anything to do with it?
Probably.
Does it bring about apathy at the lower level?
We cannot pretend about this thing. There is a section of this country that is not properly represented.
Yes.
Across board. It's not only in the armed forces.
Across board.
And that is not going to get us anywhere. If you want to understand what I'm saying, just imagine we were two officers and we were serving. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you were from one section of the country, and you knew that even if you somersaulted on your job,
you're not going anywhere.
You're not going to get to that hallowed place. Okay? I mean, it is clear. It is there. And the more we shy away from it, the more we seem to get marooned as a people, as a nation, as whatever you want to look at it. So is it not high time we went the road less traveled?
Yes.
As even mathematically, if you went to the right and you were getting a minus, 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 if you reversed it, I think you will get a plus, plus, plus. So what we're looking at
my mathematics is terrible.
Me too.
So you're talking to the wrong person. That's why I couldn't get it to Ibobi College. I know you'd like to hear that again. Okay, I have Captain Blade in the studio. We'll open up our lines at some point. 0700-993-993-993. And the lines for female 465-7190. The normal rules will apply, you know, but also in addition, please have a clear understanding of what is being said before you call. Because with the reactions I got on YouTube this morning, I was most embarrassed that quite a number of people misunderstood what is being said. You know, they didn't understand sarcasm. They didn't understand innuendo.
Irony
and stuff like that. Yeah. They display complete ignorance about the issue. So we'd like to know that we can have a nice report. It's not compulsory to get involved in public space, especially if you are not sure of what has been said. It's more dignifying to just maintain what I would call a dignified silence. But this is not a lecture hall. Akeredolu says, out of frustration, the governor of Ondo State, out of frustration, says that the way things are going, Nigerians might want to arm themselves.
You know, I was saying something. There is something we call mutually assured deterrence.
Yes.
And incidentally, it's the acronym spells MAD, that is MAD.
MAD.
What is mutually assured deterrence? Mutually assured deterrence sounds like madness. And in some cases, you need more madness to handle a certain degree of madness. You see, it doesn't make sense when law-abiding people who want to see their lives, their protection, and their property to constituted authority repeatedly continue to be victims. And then then the criminals tend to be getting away with it, and not only getting away with it, they even come with sophisticated weapons. It's unfortunate. I mean, we are human beings. The first thing God gave us all as humans is self-preservation. Everybody wants to self-preserve. If you doubt it, just hold your nostrils and you see what your body will start telling you after 4 seconds. Say, look, we want to survive. Get that finger off your nose. So
it's okay. You can try it now. Let's go.
So you can imagine if you were in a house and one day it's your father, another day it's your mother, and another day it's your... People just... You can't even sleep anymore. You can't go anywhere. You're not safe on the farms. You're not safe on the roads. You're not safe at home. And at a point in time, you begin to say, come, what exactly is it that these people have that we don't have?
I mean, let's play the devil's advocate here. At a random, how easy is it to get a weapon on the black market?
As easy as it is for any cowherder to get it.
I guess so.
Yes. As easy as it is. I mean, wherever his legs took him to get it.
It's a pity, Eleyi, that one I left. I'm talking about Sheriff. He didn't know what a Beretta is. This one, I'm sure he was
aware. Speaking.
So it's so yes. What kind of question did I ask? If a cowherder can get a gun, so what stops other people? So it's just a function of the money. In the black market, an AK-47 will cost about how much?
I don't know. I don't know how much it costs, but I can tell you, whatever it costs, these people can afford it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so cheap that you can even find it in bags of beans.
On Okada?
Yeah, no, exactly. You can find it in Okada.
How
tanks.
Are we sure that some of the ones that were seized from Okada riders are actually not deliveries being made?
That's what we're saying. So you find out that it's everywhere. And that is why...
So we are very, very close to it.
If you really mean to get one, I believe it's as easy as it is for them who get it.
Can you get me one?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't advise.
No, I'm joking.
You know.
Please let me make a quick clearance. We're just joking. That's
I know you're just. I know
it's not something you should contemplate at all.
You're saying on a lighter note.
Yes, but the reality is that if people are pushed to the wall, it jolly well could happen.
You will definitely want to survive.
If a governor gets frustrated up to a point, now somebody. In the papers this morning was suggesting that I'm Motekun. Oh, I have 1 minute, Kapi. I don't like this thing jumping on us. So we'll take a short break now. When we come back, I'll be asking you your views on whether I'm Motekun and other state security outfits should be armed. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Yes, welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Jisoo. And I still have Captain Blade here with me. Capi, what was the last question I asked you? I don't seem to remember now.
We were speaking about, when we come back, you spoke about the elections.
I asked you a question already. Yes, I was asking, I remember now. Two of us are getting old, Capi. You retire from this job. I was asking you a question about whether these private security units are Motekun.
Yes,
whether they should be licensed to be armed, that suggestion has come up. Would that help?
I want to tell you something, Dad.
Yes.
Even the police right now, why do you think the military is so visible? It's because the threats as we know them are beyond what the police will handle. Now, I was talking about mutually assured deterrence. If we have this, what you call local security agencies,
yes,
or native security agencies, call them what, private security, Motekun and all the ones that are,
yes,
all over. If we have them, they could complement what the police is doing, but not with the kind of catapults and cutlasses they go about with. Have you seen their weapons?
Looks a bit closer to Dengons.
They are not even Dengons. If you call them Dengons, people who make Dengons may even sanction you. Those things are not. Yes, I'm telling you. You see them even with talisman. Sometimes they resort to hanging charms that really
does that kind of work. That kind of thing work. Have you ever fought in a war before?
Let me tell you, sir.
Have you fought in a war before?
Look, a firefight is a firefight.
It's a fire, whether it's war or
whether
whatever.
It's war or not. Let me tell you something, Uncle Jimmy. You see this idea of talisman. If talisman was it, they would be so expensive, we would not be able to afford it. You know why? The superpowers of this world, the Russia, the Ukraine, the America, they would have moved all the babalawos to their places to go and do this thing now. What I'm trying to tell you is this. For those who believe in it, wear everything you want to wear, but let's get real.
So you are saying it's not a matter of Kurube.
Kurube indeed.
But there was this... there was this story we heard in the 60s. I think it was the Agbekoya, you know, and yeah, they put rice in the gun, and they said any policeman who got hit by the rice from their gun, he wouldn't be able to take off his uniform. Now, I don't think as I grew old anybody verified it. I just moved on in life with the belief that it exists.
You see, for me, my religion tells me something.
Yes.
If you are not yet...
That's Islam.
Yes.
Okay.
If your time is not up, nothing will kill you.
Kill you.
And the day your time is up,
nothing
will spare you. It's that simple.
And there is no way for you to know that day.
You can't know that day. So why don't you just get on with this business and get what you can do done while you are here? Because definitely you will.
But do you think our police are well trained?
Our police are trained, yes. But let me tell you something about the human being. The human being, as you see him, all the faculties in my head are in that policeman's head. Our policemen, if you go to their training institutions, they have their issues. I say they are well trained because if they want to do a job, they get it done. You know, it could be selective, but if they want to do a job, they get it done. There are certain people that once they get involved or something about theirs or one of their loved ones, you see in minutes, in seconds, in hours.
Yes.
It's resolved.
It's resolved.
And the perpetrators are brought to book. And there are some other people that generations will come and go, and at the end of the day, the case just dies a natural death. So what we are saying is simple here. When it comes to Amotekun or all those other ones as they exist,
yes,
we can only begin to consider making them a complement to what the police is doing so that we can stand down our armed forces.
There's this story that came up this morning. We didn't have enough time to review it, and it's credited to the Chief of Defense Staff, General Lucky.
Okay.
And he says that he says here that the military have warned politicians against inciting violence before, during, and after elections. Fair enough. And that Irabo stated that the desire to have peaceful general elections by Nigerians must come to fruition. No problem. Since we are going towards a season that everyone has been desiring, which is to have a peaceful election, do not think that it is just, this is the where I'm going now, that it is just the responsibility of the government. The responsibility is for everyone to ensure that we have a peaceful electioneering. And he talks about that. But he warned, there's a sentence here that bothers me. And he said, when I say it bothers me, it sets me thinking. He says that Irabo warned that the military will not fold its arms and watch politicians cause unrest in the country. I thought that the military are under the supervision of these same politicians. So I'm wondering, is General Irabo, is he trying to be a senior prefect here? You know, because he says here, calmly, or let's deny that, the military will not fold its arms and watch politicians cause unrest in the country. So he urged candidates consenting to eschew violence. At face value, there's nothing wrong with what he has said. But I'm wondering, if it was in his place in the civilian dispensation for an arm of government, because that's what the military is. For the head of an arm of government to be talking, giving warnings to his those who are technically his bosses. So when he says here again that they will not fold their arms, I wonder, what do you make out of that?
Yes, you see, let's go back in time, a bit back in time, to what would have led the general to make such statements.
Mm.
You see, once upon a time, a very young lieutenant happened to be in the room when some politicians asked the general to actually manipulate elections, or else they would determine how his career trajectory was to go.
Mm-hmm.
You remember? And that little young man made bold to blow the whistle and even made it to our president. He made it to our president. In fact, he made it to one of the contestants for these elections, actually. And was like, you know what? This is what is coming up. This is what I heard. This is what politicians are planning. That young man is also within the history of events that could have added up to the warning you heard General Irabor sound.
Is he still in the military?
He's somewhere. That's story for another day, so I won't go there. But, you know, so you find out that when these things happen, for those who are a bit conversant with history, they should be able to even begin to tweet the young man's name. But that happened. That happened. And when you do that, and end up complaining to the problem, it could be very, very, very dire for you. So that young man staked his career. That young man staked his allegiance to do that
to his country.
Yes, to his country, to do that thing. Because some other person would just, I'm just a small young, just find the baby pass through the wall and say, in fact, I didn't hear anything. So that young man today, if we go back to that storyline, and then
he was a lieutenant.
He was
then.
A lieutenant, just a few years old in the army. And
so by now he'll be brigadier.
Wherever he is, no, that would be very ambitious.
Do you know where he is?
I don't know where he is, but definitely. Is it because such a person?
It's quite instructive.
Why I'm saying so is such a person.
Yes.
Being that the party he warned emerged as the winning party, then such a person should have been one of the favored, and even to encourage others to do what I do. I wouldn't know. It's been long since I heard of him. I've been long since I've seen him. And for those who know that storyline, you understand
so
why.
So are
General,
you? Are you?
Yes.
Why is General there Zabon any? Made is there that. Any indication that members of the military might be worried about what the politicians are up to these days?
The thing with the armed forces is that, you see, the armed forces never really speaks. But that doesn't mean...
But they have now.
Yes. You know, when I'm saying, when I say the armed forces, I'm not talking of the top echelon.
Yes.
I'm talking about the middle and the lower.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly get heard. And but that doesn't mean that their sensibilities and their emotions should be taken for granted. They are human too.
Okay, I mean, but this is done relatively in good faith. I mean, you can't fault what the general has said.
The general,
you can't fault it.
The general, I can't fault it, because there has been an antecedent.
Yes,
there has been something that he could refer back to.
Could it be? Could it also be that the general, I'm trying to second guess the poor guy now, Could it be that they have heard some things that you and I have not heard, and it's sounding a subtle warning? This is a big story. I'm surprised the newspaper buried it on page. This is a big story. The implications are far-reaching. Because it says here, perpetrators of violence.
Yes, you see.
So
I'll tell
meaning
you.
That if any one of the politicians. If their strategy is to do the usual, come with thugs, steal ballot boxes, and so on and so forth, they will be ready for them.
That's a staple habit of our politics, if you agree with me. Somebody will want to commit harakiri. You know what the Japanese people call harakiri?
Yes, kill himself.
You go and carry ballot box and start running. And he probably wants to run faster than a bullet. And he probably, you know, you see all manner of things. And then the whole world is watching. And at a point in time, you find out that the elections cannot even be credible anymore. When we want to go to the polls, you start seeing an exodus. You know, you start seeing an exodus of people. People start going out of the country to wait. Businesses start pressing pause button. To see. So it shouldn't be that. And at a point in time, you find out that even the police cannot seem to hold this appetite for violence. So you find out that habit.
Well, I mean, to be
antecedents have brought the military
to be truthful.
Into the whole thing. Yes.
To be truthful, part of the police are now almost being complicit in these things. We can see a bit of that in our immediate environment, where those who have a record of doing these things have been elevated. Have been elevated. It sends a wrong signal. It sends a frightening signal that people have not been put in their proper place and are rather elevated. Those who are doing this had better think twice and do the needful. I don't think anybody would want in our country having people who should be of interest. That's where you security people put it. Now being in notable places where decisions are being made. But we'll leave that. It will take care of it. It will even out at some point.
At the point
I wonder, with all the nominations in place now and all the candidates in place, do you think that there's any hope for change in the horizon in our politics?
I'm not going to be too confident or bet on that.
Yes.
The reason I will tell you is, you see, there is this thing we speak about old habits dying hard. And I want to tell you that power, money, position, it doesn't change anybody. It just exposes what's already there.
And in the case of some of them, we already know.
We already know what's already there.
We have a history of them.
Exactly.
Yes.
So here we are, looking at a situation, and the only thing I can tell our people is what I've always told them. Go and vote with your heads. Don't vote with your hearts. Most people go and vote with emotion.
Yes.
You hear cult-like followership. You hear all those things. At the end of the day, when you have finished, you end up becoming the grass that suffers. Yes. So go there with your head, you know, and vote with your head, not with your heart. Because if you vote with your heart, you vote to emotions.
Yes.
But, you know, use your head and make sure that you get
Be selfish for a change and say, who makes my life better, irrespective of where he comes from.
Irrespective of where
that
he comes from.
That is the part I can't understand. Exactly. Okay, so Obasanjo was there for 8 years. He didn't even tie the road that led to his farm. I mean, so all this Christian, North-South, Muslim ticket, all these things, these are political conjectures that have now become a way of life for us.
I was tweeting something and I said, you know what? Whether you get a Muslim, Christian, even pagan, traditional. Mm-hmm. Look, the threats are waiting. Yes, they
from
are
a,
there.
From
they are
a security perspective, do you actually see anyone, we won't mention names, but do you actually see any one of them stand out as somebody who you would place the security of our nation in his hands, you know, as having or her hands, without mentioning names, if you can just say one or two where it gives you that, oh, one or two people, you're sure they might do the right thing, some you're sure might not do.
The two apparent contenders right now, or let me even make it three.
Yes.
The three apparent contenders now is not about who will do well or who has the capacity not to do well. It's about what your team, who are you bringing together
to the table?
A president, as I said, during General, President Buhari's first tenure, I said it once that a president can only be as good as his cabinet. Yes, if you like, be the best head on the planet. If you have dunderheads as your cabinet members, you will not perform. And you can be a lame duck. And if you have the right minds and heads in your cabinet, you will get there. So a president can only be as good as his cabinet. That's what I'm going to leave the three contenders with.
Yes. Okay. Look, we've almost gotten to the end, so I need to let my listeners call in. Please go straight to the point. We don't have time. No time for niceties. Go straight, give your name and make your point, okay? Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
This is Pastor calling from Orilegum.
Yes.
I think my take on this issue of insecurity, the politicians have also aided these activities. For instance, when some of these criminal elements are arrested, some of them have direct contact to those politicians and they do everything possible to release them. I can give you an instance in 1 minute within my own area here. Some group of boys have been tormenting a particular street for more than 3 months, and it's not up to 5 minutes from police station. The DPO could not do anything. In fact, this Sunday, they still killed somebody. Broad daylight. So the politicians are the major challenge. So I believe the general knows some things that some of us are not privy to.
Okay, thank
you. So they should help us more.
Thank you,
thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. My name is Dan Baba.
Quickly, Dan Baba.
Yes, sir. You see, the inability of this government to deal with this terrorist organization has forced some people to accuse them of aiding them, even though I don't believe that is true. Then secondly, at one point, we start defending ourselves. Because I remember when this government came newly, they started telling farmers and other people to surrender their arms that they use, you know, to go to the farm. And I remember on your station, your sister station, OBJ, said it then, that after this one, there will be a massacre killing. Today, what are we seeing? The government should be truthful with the people and try to protect the people.
All right, thank you. Hello, good morning. Morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jerry.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, just go on.
Yeah. I think we need to get this right. Captain said, Nigerians should stop voting with emotions. Thank you.
The line is not clear. Let's take another one. Hello, good morning. Hello? Morning. Hello?
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning, who's calling?
Auntie Blue, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is Chris.
Chris, morning.
Uncle Jimmy, 2 years the life of this government, I said it. The insecurity the man promised, the president, that is not working. Nigerians are taking sides. It's not going to do us any good. Is it not that the governor state will cry out this dying minute that they are leaving office? Protect your people. You are the chief security officer. But no, because you belong to the party that is in central whatever, you couldn't defend your people. Now you are not complaining about restructuring and him and Malami are arguing between themselves. Captain Blay, thank you once more.
Well, I think it's a bit unfair, Chris. I want to disagree with you. I think it's a bit unfair to, you know, to accuse the governor of not defending his people. With what? By law, he cannot arm them. So what does he then do? It's part of what those who are asking for restructuring are asking for, some kind of state police. And I'm in line with that thinking. Though, I mean, the dangers of having state police are there, but if you begin to weigh the options now, it's becoming more imperative. And the kind of policing that you have, where almost a quarter of your policemen are attached to one VIP or the other, how do you expect the rest of the populace to protect themselves? A musician yesterday in the papers, or the other day, go to a nightclub, I don't know whether it was said, with four or five policemen and other policemen there, people enjoying the nightclub. I wish.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I was trying to get his handlers to advise him.
That's a bona boy.
Yeah, he should let sleeping dogs lie, because he was saying something about if people had their way, they would have said he was responsible for
Boko Haram. Yes.
And I told him, don't go there. We've just finished with one in Sokoto. Don't start it again. These people don't identify with your kind of lifestyle. Don't go and do things in a nightclub which they find reprehensible. Then start bringing their brand in. You may pay for damages.
And when we say pay for damages, it won't be in the
country. They'll come after you. I mean, what the hell is wrong with you? Why will you go and do such things where they drink beer and do all those things, and then you come and start using our names?
As an example.
Exactly. Then when we start now, you will say, we have started. So don't go there. You've made your point.
I think generally he needs, if I were him, I'd get him a group of mature people. He obviously can't handle his brand.
Some people cannot manage success.
He can't manage. You know, this
some people cannot manage success.
It's not peculiar to him. Yes, so it's not as if we are putting down the youth, because next thing you'll have now is, oh, they don't like him because it's the youth, it's successful.
No, it's not about that. You see,
you have to manage. Yes. Another one too, there's this one called Gazu or whatever it is. Zazu.
Zazu.
That guy was filming himself smoking grass in the UK. He's going to be profiled.
Yes, of course. He's going to be profiled.
Surprised that they don't understand this. Kapi, we've got to go. Time has crept in. We'll be back again. Oh.
God willing.
The discussion never ends. That's why we'll end it for today. Tomorrow, we have a doctor. His name has gone off my head. My Dr. Ayeni will be here tomorrow to talk about the dangers of any form of surgery. Any form, because we now have people dying of cosmetic surgery, why it should be avoided. The danger, even in tooth extraction. I've seen people die. So he's going to now tell us the danger of getting involved in any form of surgery. He'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It's okay. Thank you very much. God bless you. Kapi, as usual.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back again.
Thank you.
And Philip, where is he? He's always behind the pillar. Don't you feel? It looks like, have you been training him? All right. It's okay. Comes up next with the... With What's Up Lagos. You want them to hear you. Let them hear, see how you're bubbling.
What's Up Lagos? Yes,
she's having the best fun of her life. I'll see you tomorrow at 9.
All right.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.